Let's read together Zechariah chapter 6. In this chapter, we have the eighth and concluding prophetic vision of Zechariah. We also have the crowning of Joshua, the high priest, and its prophetic implications. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 8 of this chapter. Then I turned and raised my eyes and looked, and behold, four chariots were coming out between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of bronze. With the first chariot were red horses, with the second chariot black horses, with the third chariot white horses, and with the fourth chariot dappled horses, strong steeds. Then I answered and said to the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my lord?" And the angel answered and said to me, "These are four spirits of heaven who go out from their station before the Lord of all the earth. The one with the black horses is going to the north country. The white are going after them, and the dappled are going toward the south country." Then the strong steeds went out, eager to go, that they might walk to and fro throughout the earth. And he said, "Go walk to and fro throughout the earth." So they walked to and fro throughout the earth. And he called to me and spoke to me, saying, "See, those who go toward the north country have given rest to my spirit in the north country." Let's begin our study of Zechariah chapter 6 with some background notes. In chapters 1 through 6 of Zechariah, we have eight prophetic visions. They were all given to Zechariah on the same night. So I guess Zechariah didn't get much sleep that night. However, he did get a lot of information and insight concerning God's program for Israel's future. In fact, it was very encouraging information and insight. Israel could look forward to a very bright future. All eight prophetic visions were very encouraging for Israel and for us as well. In fact, the whole book of Zechariah is wonderfully encouraging for all believers because the prophecies of Zechariah not only tell us of the first coming of Christ, but of the second coming as well, when all evil will be judged and Christ will reign supreme. Now, the visions of Zechariah are in the literary genre of apocalyptic literature. That is, visions of the future. Now, apocalyptic literature is highly symbolic in nature, as we've seen. But it's not entirely symbolic. And that's where some of the difficulties arise in reference to the interpretation of apocalyptic literature. How do you distinguish between the symbolic and literal in apocalyptic visions? For example, in this eighth prophetic vision before us, we have horses and chariots and two mountains of bronze. Now, we know the horses and chariots are symbolic because we are told in verse 5 that these are four spirits of heaven who go out from their station before the Lord of all the earth. But what about the two mountains of bronze? We believe the bronze is symbolic of judgment, as it seems to be in Revelation chapter 1, where John has the vision of the Lord judging the works of the seven churches. Remember, in that vision, the Lord had feet of bronze. And in other places of the Bible, bronze is symbolic of judgment. But are the two mountains themselves here in Zechariah 6 literal or symbolic? We know from Zechariah chapter 14 that when the Lord returns, he will literally return to the Mount of Olives. Remember, that's the mountain from which he ascended into heaven. I'm reading Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4 concerning the return of the Lord. "And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south." So when the Lord returns, the literal Mountain of Olives will be split into two mountains with a valley in between. Maybe the Valley of Jehoshaphat, where the Lord judges the nations, according to Joel chapter 3. And that's certainly the overall meaning of this vision, the Lord judging the nations. So maybe the two mountains here in Zechariah chapter 6 are to be taken in a more literal way. The bronze, symbolic of judgment, but the mountains themselves literal. On the other hand, maybe the two mountains are entirely symbolic of complete and total judgment. In any case, it's not always easy to distinguish between what is symbolic and what is literal in apocalyptic literature. So visions in the Bible dealing with events of the future that haven't yet taken place are not always easy to interpret in all their details. Now, the rest of Scripture helps to guide us in the interpretation of apocalyptic visions. Well, so much for our background. Let's move now to our doctrinal point for this eighth prophetic vision. So, doctrinal point number one, God will judge all of Israel's enemies. God will judge all of Israel's enemies. Remember in vision number one, we saw horses and riders standing under the direction of the Lord, and all the earth was at rest. We saw that the meaning there was that at the present time, Israel is under Gentile domination, but the Lord is in control. In that way, you see, the earth is at rest. But now in this eighth prophetic vision, we see that the Lord himself is at rest. Verse 8 once again. And he called to me and spoke to me, saying, see, those who go toward the north country have given rest to my spirit in the north country. God is at rest because the nations have been judged. The horses and war chariots have done their work of judgment. The four spirits of heaven of verse 5, represented by the horses and chariots, are probably four holy angels of divine judgment. They go before the Lord of all the earth. We believe this judgment of the nations will take place when the Lord comes back to set up his kingdom and rule over this earth. This judgment takes place at the end of the Battle of Armageddon that we read of in Revelation chapter 16, and is called the judgment of the sheep and the goats, according to Matthew chapter 25. This is the same judgment of the nations prophesied in Joel chapter 3, as mentioned in our background notes. Now, the fact that the horses and chariots go north and south, that is from Israel, show that the focus of the judgment is the nation's wrongful treatment of the nation Israel. We also see this taught in Joel chapter 3. So God will judge all of Israel's enemies. Doctrinal point number two. The Lord Jesus will be both king and priest. The Lord Jesus will be both king and priest. Verses 9 through 15. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, receive the gift from the captives, from Heldai, Tobijah, and Jediah, who have come from Babylon, and go the same day and enter the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Take the silver and gold, make an elaborate crown, and set it on the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Then speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch. From his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Now the elaborate crown shall be for a memorial in the temple of the Lord for Helam, or Heldai, Tobijah, Jediah, and Hen, the son of Zephaniah. Hen was a nickname meaning gracious one given to the man Josiah of verse 10. Verse 15, even those from afar shall come and build the temple of the Lord. Then you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And this shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. The eight visions given to Zechariah on the same night are over, and now we have a real-life event. A delegation has come to Jerusalem from the exiles who were still living in Babylon. They brought a gift of silver and gold, probably to help in rebuilding the temple of Zerubbabel. But the Lord instructed Zechariah to take the silver and gold and make a glorious crown and place it on the head of Joshua the high priest. Then the crown was to be put into the temple and kept as a memorial of this event, as we see there in verse 14. Now, what was unusual about this event, and certainly unexpected to those observing, was that the crown was placed on Joshua the high priest's head and not on Zerubbabel's head. Zerubbabel was not a king, but at least he had royal blood and was in the royal line. But the crown was placed on Joshua, the high priest's head. Why was the crown put on the high priest's head? Answer, because it anticipated and foreshadowed the coming of the man whose name is the branch. Verse 12. The branch is a title for the coming Messiah, as we've seen in Zechariah chapter 3. The branch would be both a priest and king, as we see here in verse 13. The uniting of the offices of king and high priest in the Messiah was also prophesied in Psalm 110. The Messiah would be a priest after the order of Melchizedek, that is, both king and priest, as we read in Hebrews chapter 7, where Psalm 110 is quoted. The Lord Jesus is now our high priest and now our king. But this symbolic event of Zechariah's time looks forward beyond this church age to when the Lord returns and literally reigns as king over this world for 1,000 years. This will be the millennial kingdom of Christ here on this earth. The Lord Jesus will be both king and priest. Now, what about practical application from Zechariah chapter 6? Do you know your biblical temples? Do you know your biblical temples? We read here in verses 12 and 13 that the Messiah, the branch, shall build the temple of the Lord. And in verse 15, we read that people will come from afar to help build this temple. Now, what temple of the Lord is this anyway? Do you know your biblical temples? Well, I can think of seven. Seven, you say? Yes, seven biblical temples of the Lord. Well, first of all, there are the two spiritual temples of the Holy Spirit, the believer's body, 1 Corinthians 6, and the church, the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 3. But now, what about the other five biblical temples? There are five literal temples of the Lord. There was Solomon's temple, the one destroyed by the Babylonians. And then there was Zerubbabel's temple that we're reading about here in Zechariah. Then there was Herod's temple at the time of our Lord. This was a major expansion of Zerubbabel's temple, but it was really a third temple. And we know there will be a tribulation temple because the Lord Jesus said that this is where the idolatrous image would be set up as predicted by Daniel the prophet. And then finally, there will be the millennial temple spoken of by Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48. Now, which temple is in view here in Zechariah chapter 6? Remember, in the context, this temple is not the church. We believe the temple of Zechariah chapter 6 is the millennial temple, which will be built after the Lord returns. The Lord himself will direct the building of this temple, as we see here in verses 12 and 13. And believing Jews and Gentiles from around the world will come and participate, as we read here in verse 15. So how many biblical temples are there? There really are seven. Do you know your biblical temples?